Would you turn back to Matthew chapter 10? Ida Isaacs is in Arizona with her son who had heart surgery, and he's in pretty difficult condition right now, so remember them. And also Savannah came home this week, wherever Janet is, so we're all awful happy about that. I want to attempt to speak upon the subject of confessing Christ. Confessing Christ. The inspiration of this message came from me reading 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Obviously, if we do not confess our sins, we will not be forgiven. Now, what does it mean to confess sin? That's what I was thinking about because I thought about my confession. My confession of sin always seems so inadequate and even insincere and filled with excuses and self-justification, self-vindication. And I thought, do I even know what it means to truly before God confess my sin? That means, the word confess means to speak the same thing. It's important for us to understand that. That's what the Greek word means, to speak the same thing. If I do confess my sin, I speak the same thing God speaks concerning my personal sin. Now, the importance of this subject, confessing, is seen in that it has something to do with what happens to a sinner when God saves him. Listen to these scriptures. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, this has something to do with salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, there is no salvation apart from this thing of confession. What in the world does it mean? I read that passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 10. The Lord said, whosoever shall confess me before men. You know what I'm doing when I confess him before men? I'm saying the same thing God says concerning him. I am in agreement with God concerning him. Whosoever shall confess me before men. There's something public about confession. A man doesn't believe any more than he will make a public stand for. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Don't you find in yourself a longing to have him confess your name before the Father? I want to just keep my mouth shut and hear what he has to say. But whosoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, somebody that he denies before his Father, that person certainly is not saved, are they? I want to know something about what it is to confess him and so to be saved. Now, turn with me to John chapter 12. I'm not saved by my confession. I'm saved by Christ. And that's what I confess if I'm saved. Look in John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, John 12:42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They would lose their position if they confessed him. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, were these people saved? It says they believed. Were they saved? Well, if they were, there's certainly not much to salvation, is there? If they were. And I can assure you that they were not. Because if you love the praise of men more than the praise of God, you've never seen who he is. Or you wouldn't love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, if God saves a man, he will confess Christ. And the reason he's going to do it is because deeply in his heart, he believes. You see, what comes out comes from within. What you deeply believe. You believe him. You will confess him. Now the Lord says, whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Oh, I want that. But whosoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, do you remember when Peter denied that he knew Christ? And he went out and wept bitterly. And I know what was going on at that time. He remembered the Lord saying these words, whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And I guarantee you, he was scared to death. He was thinking, the Lord is going to deny me. I've blown it. No hope for me. Now, Peter did not deny Christ. He denied he knew him. He chickened out. He caved in through the fear of man and said, I don't know the man. And he started cussing and swearing, saying, I don't know him. Who in this room has not done that? Let him first cast the stone at Peter. Everybody in this room has been guilty of what Peter did in denying any connection with Christ. But Peter did not deny Christ himself. He did not deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lord of the universe. At this time, he caves into peer pressure. He was afraid for his life. And he denied any connection with him. He denied he knew him. But he did not deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, whosoever will confess me. Now, when I confess him, I'm confessing who he is. You see, Jesus Christ is the gospel. And if I confess him, I'm confessing who he is. Who he is so beautifully illustrated by that bush that burned with fire and could not be consumed, that Moses saw when the Lord made himself known to him. Now that bush that burned with fire did not need the energy of the wood to keep it going. It kept burning. And what that speaks of is the independence of Jesus Christ. He has no needs. What's that mean? It means he's God. Only God is independent. He doesn't need certain things to happen for his will to be done. He's absolutely sovereign. He's holy. He's all powerful. He's all wise. He has no needs. Jesus Christ has no needs. He doesn't have to have something to happen for him to make him happy. He is God over all, blessed forever. And that wood could not be consumed by that fire. That's speaking of the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God manifest in the flesh. And when Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness, without controversy, that's the only time that word is used in the New Testament. And it's literally confessedly. This is something you confess. Confessedly, God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God. He's your Lord. He's in control of everything. He's the Lord of glory. He's the creator of the universe. You are in His hands, and what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to you, is totally up to Him. He's God. He's the perfect man. If you're saved, it'll be because of His manhood. He is the God-man, Christ Jesus the Lord. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And that's talking about preachers. It's exactly what that's talking about. Preachers. Believe not every man that claims to be a spokesman for God, but try the spirits, test them, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth, there's the word, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist. Where have you heard that it should come? And even now already it's in the world. Now, confessing has something public about it. And what do they confess? That Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now, when you make that confession, you confess that he was, before he came, the eternal Son of God, and that he came in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he did what he came to do. Matthew 1:21 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's exactly what he did. He accomplished salvation. Now that's what you're confessing. And you're identifying with this message and no other message. I mean, if you're here because you believe this message, you're confessing this publicly right now. This is the gospel I believe. This is what I want to be identified with. He was before he came, the eternal Son of God. He came in the flesh. The Word was made flesh, and he did what he came to do. When he said it is finished, all the elect were saved. Everybody he died for was saved completely. That's our confession. He said in Revelation 22:13, I love this. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega. That's the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. That means everything spells me. Everything spells me. I'm the cause of all things. And then he said next in Revelation 22:13, that I am the beginning and the end. You know what that means? He's the cause of everything. And he's the purpose of everything. You believe that? He's the cause of everything. The first cause. He's the end, the purpose for everything. I'm the first and the last. Now, when we confess Him, we confess what God says concerning Him. He is all in salvation. And we say amen. We confess that too. All that God requires of us, He looks to His Son for. All that God requires of us, we look to His Son for. We confess Him. Turn to Romans chapter 10. I've already quoted this, but I want you to see it. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Now here's a public confession that's articulated. And what is it? The Lord Jesus. You believe Jesus Christ to be Lord, dictator, the absolute sovereign of the universe, the blessed and only potentate, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. You believe He's the Lord. You believe He rules. He doesn't want to rule. He does rule. He's in absolute control of everybody and everything, doing whatever He pleases. You confess He's the Lord, and it's because you believe in your heart. What you confess with your mouth is what you believe in your heart. Somebody says, I hope that their heart is better than what they say. Let me assure you, it's not. It's not. You confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. With the heart, though, man believeth unto righteousness. Now, you know where it says you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead? Here's what that means you believe in your heart. You believe that His resurrection from the dead is where your personal righteousness comes from. You really believe that. You believe in your heart that the only reason you're counted righteous before God is because He was raised from the dead, all your sins were paid for, they were all put away, and His righteousness becomes your personal righteousness before God. And you believe that, you'll confess it. You most surely will. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. Like I said, this is what inspired this message. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9 begins with an if. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now this verse cannot be understood apart from verses 8 and 10. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. At all times, I have a sinful nature. At all times. And for me in any way to deny this is to deceive myself and lose all credibility. The truth is not in me. Look in verse 10. If we say we've not sinned, at any time, while I'm preaching, while I'm praying, while I'm reading the Bible, if we say we've not sinned, you see, I've got this sinful nature that makes everything I do the commission of sin. If we say we've not sinned, we make Him a liar because He says we have. And we're denying what he says. And his word is not in us. If we confess our sins, does that mean to confess each one of them individually? And if I fail to do so and leave them out, I will not be forgiven? Is that what that means? Well, if that is what it means, then you won't be saved. For several reasons. Number one, that means we're going to have to confess each individual thought, each individual action. And there's not enough time in the day to do that. You'd be continually, nonstop, confessing your sin. Whereas, really, we should be continually, nonstop, confessing our sin. But that's not what it means to confess each individual sin. And as far as confession goes, the way I've introduced this message, my confession is inadequate. When I confess my sin, I've got something going on in my mind that lets me know you're not sincere enough, you're not sorry enough, you're still vindicating yourself, you make up excuses for yourself. Your confession is no good. As a matter of fact, my confession of sin itself is evil enough to send me to hell for. Do you believe that about your confession? My confession is no good. What's it mean to confess your sin? Turn with me to Psalm 38. And one of the things I love about the King James Version is it talks about being justified by the faith of Christ. Not by faith in Christ, but by the faith of Christ. Somebody had to believe God perfectly. Of course not. Our prayer is continually, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Somebody had to perfectly. Jesus Christ did. And I am relying on his faith. Well, don't you have to have faith? Yeah, I'm relying on his. I'm relying on his. All God requires of me, he looks to his son for. That's what I'm relying on. Now look here in Psalm 38. These are David's words, I realize. But primarily, they're the words of Christ from the cross. Psalm 38, verse 18. For I will declare, that word is confess. I will confess mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. This is how truly that my sin became his sin. He confessed it as his own. And he was sorry for it. The only one who has ever been truly sorry over sin. The only one who has ever confessed sin as it should be confessed. Now, I'm scared even talking like that, but I know it's the truth. This is the Son of God speaking from the cross in Psalm 38. You read the whole psalm, you see it's obviously him, yes, it's David. Yes, it's David saying, I will confess my iniquity and I will be sorry for my sin. But as I said, my confession, there's so many holes in it. My sorrow, I'll forget it quick enough. And God requires a true confession. God requires true sorrow. Just as I look to the faith of Christ, I look to the confession of Christ. I look to the sorrow of Christ. He's the only one who really knew what sin was. Me and you don't really know. We're used to it. It doesn't bother us. We're hardened and desensitized. We don't really understand. He does. I will confess. And here's my confession. I'm looking to his confession. To confess means to speak the same thing. I'm speaking the same thing God does about my sin. I agree with what God says. I take sides with the Lord against myself. Now that's what it is to confess sin. And look at this continuation of this verse. I think this is so glorious. If we confess our sin, take sides with God against ourselves, look to His confession. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Faithful to do what He determined to do before time began. You see, He determined the complete forgiveness of my sins in the covenant of grace as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and He's only doing what He determined before to be done. Not only is He faithful to forgive my sins, He's, what's the next word? Just. We would say gracious and merciful, and that would be true, but that's not what the Bible says. It says He's faithful and He's just. The very justice of God demands the complete forgiveness of everybody Christ died for. Isn't that glorious? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Turn to Acts 24. This is Paul defending himself before Ananias. And he says, beginning in verse 11, "Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple, disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue, nor in the city. They're making all these accusations against me. I deny them. They're not so. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee." I plead guilty. "This I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and in the prophets." The way which they call heresy. Now, Christ is the way. There is no other way. The only way I can get to the Father is if I'm in Him. The only peace I have is that He is my peace before God. He is the way of righteousness. His righteousness is the only way. Righteousness. Somebody says that's heretical. That's not leaving anybody any room for obedience and seeking to be holy and so on. Why, you're just saying, you're just excluding all that. "Well, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written." This is the religion of this book. And we believe all things that are written. We confess. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to give three more real briefly. Verse 5, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea at the preaching of John the Baptist and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Now, does that mean that somebody stood before the Jordan and before they went in to be baptized, they started enumerating their sins to everybody? "Well, I've been guilty of this sin, I've been guilty of this sin, I've been guilty of this sin," and started naming their sins? No. As far as that goes,
that kind of stuff is weird. I mean, it's just weird. People getting up and trying to, you know, I did this. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's wrong. There's nothing, it's weird. There's nothing good about it. Don't do that. What they were confessing is, I personally am so sinful that the only way I can be saved is by what baptism depicts. That when Christ kept the law, I was in Him and I kept the law. I could not keep the law in any way but Him keeping it for me and me being united to Him. When Christ died, and this is what baptism depicts, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When Christ died, that is the only way my sins could be paid for. I was in Him, I died when Christ died. That's how my sins are paid for. And the only way, I'm so sinful in and of myself, that the only way I can stand just before God is if when Christ was raised from the dead, I was raised with Him. And the Father was well pleased with Him, and He's well pleased with me. I am so sinful. That's what that is talking about. I'm so sinful. The only way I can be saved is by the gospel. If it's by my works in any way, there's no hope for me. Here is my public confession. I'm confessing to all men when I'm baptized that this is my salvation. I'm so sinful, I cannot be saved any other way. Now turn to James chapter 5. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. Confess your faults. Now, this is very similar to the one before this. Does that mean I am supposed to confess my individual sins to you? No. What that means is I confess before you I'm so faulty, so sinful, that I don't have any reason to sit in judgment on you for anything. And whenever you and I are critical and judgmental toward other people, we are practicing grotesque hypocrisy. Amen? That's true with regard to all of us. I am confessing. And you know, that's how people get along, humility. Whenever you become proud and self-righteous and arrogant, looking down your nose at people, that's where the problems begin. And anytime we sit in criticism and judgment of somebody, it's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. Confess your faults one to another. Don't claim to be what you're not. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess, and that's the word confess, it's said profess here, but it's the same word. They confess that they know God. They tell everybody they know God. But in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now do you remember in Revelation 14:13 when the Lord said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord? You remember that. What does he say at the end of that verse? It says they shall have rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. Now, this is true of every dead believer that dies in the Lord. Their works do follow them. Now, what does that mean? Well, they don't come out in front as the cause of their salvation in any way. They don't walk along beside as evidence of salvation. If you can look at anything about your life and say, well, I must be saved because I... That's Antichrist. But their works do follow them. Now, what does that mean? I'm looking at some people that I see evidence in their life that they know Christ. You might not get assurance of your salvation from that, but I'm looking at people who give evidence that they know the Lord. The evidence is in their life. And if somebody lives in such a way as denies any possibility of them being saved, there's a reason. They're not saved. Your works follow you. They give evidence. I mean, they give evidence that the Lord has done something for you. This somebody that, and I want to say this carefully, but somebody lives like hell, they're going to hell. That's just all there is to it. Somebody lives like hell, they're going to hell. Now, is somebody saved because of the way they live? No! They're saved because of what Christ did for them. And they don't derive assurance from their works. But with regard to everybody that's saved, they want to hear the gospel. Somebody doesn't want to hear the gospel? Well, what's that say about them? Somebody that doesn't believe Christ, what's that say about them? The fact of the matter is, you confess Christ by your life. And these people didn't. Now, I want to confess Him, don't you? I want Him to confess my name before the Father. I want to confess Him before men. I want to confess Him with my mouth. I want to confess Him by baptism. I want to confess Him by confessing my faultiness before all other people, not being able to sit in judgment over anybody. And I want to confess Him by my life, where it's going to be obvious to people, I do love Christ. He is my all in all. May the Lord enable us to confess Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that You would take Your word and bless it for Your glory, according to Your will, to each one of us, for Christ's sake. We ask that You would meet with us tonight once again and bless us for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen.